I invite you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. And I would say again, I've been drawing on some verses from 1 Peter chapter 1 and chapter 2. And in his first epistle, the Apostle Peter gave his readers practical admonitions about their spiritual walk in this world. And in these first two chapters, he described the saints by using five different similes, fairly close together. A simile being a figure of speech expressing a direct resemblance of one thing to another. And the word as appears with each simile and indicates this comparison. And in these several recent prayer meetings, we've considered four of the five similes. The first one is in chapter 1, verse 14. The saints are to be as obedient children, especially in the matter of living holy lives by God's grace and power. The second simile is in chapter 2 and verse 2. Believers should fervently desire the pure milk of the word, like newborn babes crave their mother's milk. And in both cases, the result is the same. It's growth. For spiritual growth to take place, we must have the pure milk of God's truth. The third simile is in chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. We are as lively, or literally living, stones. And each one of us is a part of a living temple for God, built on the one foundation that God Himself has laid in the person and work of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The fourth simile Peter used is in chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Believers are like strangers and pilgrims in this world, but they're living holy and honorable lives among the unsaved around them. And God will be glorified because that world that around them saw their good works. Well, we've come to the fifth and final one of these similes in this study, and it is found in chapter 2, verses 24 and 25. He's speaking about Jesus here, and he writes, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." There's no doubt that the Apostle Peter was again alluding to the great Isaiah 53 in this passage. And I suppose we hardly need to be reminded of what the middle of that chapter in Isaiah says, but it is still good to think about, where Isaiah said, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Well, where Isaiah has said, "He hath borne our griefs, and with his stripes we are healed, and all we, like sheep, have gone astray," that's exactly what Peter is reminding the saints. Sheep are notorious for having no homing instinct, and worse, no means of defending themselves from harm. Clearly, for them to survive, they need help. They wander from one clump of grass to another, sometimes oblivious to dangers that lurk nearby. But even if they are aware of trouble, they cannot do much about it. Sheep definitely need a shepherd. And like sheep, sinners have gone astray. They've gone astray from their maker, their sustainer, their owner, their God. And in their straying, sinners have opened themselves up to many troubles and dangers and sorrows. They need help. We, like sheep, need help. And the kind of help that lost sinners need is as desperate as it is unique. Sinners don't need to be redirected or reformed or remodeled. They need to be regenerated. They need to be literally rescued from eternal destruction. And there is rescue for anyone who wants it. For as Paul wrote to Timothy, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. God's sinless Son is the only one who can help us sinners. Because, as Peter wrote, he took the stripes that we deserved. And he bore our sins in his own body on the tree, which is a reference, of course, to the cross. And that is the only thing that can rescue us from spiritual destruction. It is important to note that Peter, when he wrote to the saints in this passage, said that they were as sheep going astray. Thank God that was there, and as far as we know, everyone in this room, our former situation. But they were no longer straying, and I trust we are no longer straying either. At some point in time, they heard the Good Shepherd's voice, and they followed him, and they became part of his flock. Jesus said in John 10 that the Good Shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And they do follow him, and he gives unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. This is the Good Shepherd who speaks these words and makes these promises. A very comforting truth is implied in that expression, never perish, because it translates a phrase which would literally mean something like this. They never, no, not forever, will perish. It's a great emphasis there on the negative of the word perish. Never, ever perish. When that good shepherd gives life to his sheep, he means for them to keep it. And eternal life, as the phrase goes, is not merely unending existence, just lasting forever. I call that our life in heaven hereafter. That's wonderful, and that's a great truth. But that expression, eternal life, does something else. It refers to heaven in our life here. It's not just the extent of life, it's the quality of life that we have in Christ. It is the life more abundantly that Jesus said that he came to give to his people. What a blessed truth that he gives to us as he compares himself to the shepherd and his people to sheep. His sheep. Jesus is not only our shepherd. Peter also referred to him as the bishop of our souls. Rather interesting expression. The term bishop, it's found elsewhere in other passages, of course. But it designates literally an overseer. Jesus not only sees his sheep, but he also spiritually cares for them. He doesn't just look at them. He provides for them. In chapter 3 and verse 12, Peter reminds God's people that the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are open unto their prayers. And what an assurance for the sheep that are in Jesus' flock. And what better words could we hear as we go to prayer this evening? His ears are opened unto our prayers. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls.